Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, the chapter on khawf, babul khawfi, the chapter on fear. What is meant by fear? Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grandeur, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has this in mind, then actually this fear, although it's called fear, but it's out of love. When somebody loves a person, then this person, because of the extreme love he has for this person, for example, a person that likes or has a lot of love for his sheikh or has a lot of love for his wife, then he'll see that he goes out of his way that he doesn't cause any type of displeasure to this person purely out of love. So when you speak about the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, it's a fear, but such a fear that that intense love that I have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mustn't disobey him. And this is for a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you get that fear that should be there. Sometimes for a person, he doesn't have that level of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he knows the power, the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And due to the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person, he now fears that I don't want to do something that causes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah ta'ala can take me to task. So it depends on the level of a person's love. When a person has got an extreme love, then he's more interested that fear he has not to displease the beloved. Whereas you get a person on another level, that he is more interested, now this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what he's going to do to me. However, the maqsad, the maqsood, the aim is that at no time we should displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us, then we will be careful, like a person that's driving on the road. From far, from a distance, he sees the traffic police there on the highway, then already he starts slowing down the speed, because he knows the authority of the traffic police. He can get a ticket, they can put him in jail, they can lock him up, they can do so much of things. So because of the authority, automatically now this person comes in line, he comes within the limits of the speed, now he's careful. So like that, the person knows the power of the court, or he knows the power of the police, as we mentioned, or he knows the power is the child is in the school, he knows the power that the principal got. So now he's a bit careful when the principal is around, because he knows that authority of the principal, of the police, of the court, etc. So here, the idea Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought this chapter is to show us what power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got. We know the power of everyone else. Do we know the power of Allah? How powerful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can we ever think of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even for a second? So therefore, this chapter is brought to show us at what level of power. It's just that we don't have that yakin and that reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed has that power, and He is watching over us all the time. He's fully knowledgeable of what we are doing. When a person has this in front of him, then he won't even dare to do anything wrong. One example ulama give is sometimes you'll get cashiers nowadays in the supermarkets, or cashiers in some type of a business, and nobody is overlooking them directly, but there are cameras there. So the boss is not there directly, but they know that they got some camera system there. So they're very careful of how they handle that money. They're careful what they do with the money. They don't take it and just immediately put it in their pocket, or take it and steal it, because they know there's a camera system. So although they can't see the boss, they know the boss can see them. So similarly, a person, he can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't see Allah ta'ala. We see the signs of Allah ta'ala. We see the reflection of the kudrat of Allah ta'ala, but we don't see Allah ta'ala. But we know Allah ta'ala is watching us. Like the cashier knows that the boss is watching, or somebody in security is watching. So they're very careful. So like that, we know, we should be knowing that Allah ta'ala is watching over us all the time. Anyway, a few ayat of the Quran we'll discuss, and then we'll go on tomorrow and finish it. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَإِيَّايَ فَرْحَبُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, fear me only. In other words, the real fear you should be having is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That fear is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, that real fear. Natural fear is something else, but the fear of taking punishment, of taking us to task, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, that fear we should have naturally. Not naturally, but that fear we should inculcate in ourselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّ بَطَشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah Ta'ala says, surely the grasp of your sustainer is severe. Batsh, to catch somebody. You know, when you catch somebody at the collar, you grip someone. Allah Ta'ala is describing His own grip. إِنَّ بَطَشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ. The grip of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very severe. It's not a small thing. One ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَىٰ وَهِيَ ظَالِمَ إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِمَنْ خَافَ عَذَابَ الْآخِرَةِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَجْمُوعٌ لَهُ النَّاسُ وَذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَشْهُودٌ وَمَا نُؤَخِّرُهُ إِلَّا لِأَجَلٍ مَعْدُودٍ يوم يأتي لا تكلم نفس إلا بإذنه فمنهم شقي وسعيد فأما الذين شقوا ففي النار لهم فيها زفير وشهيق. These ayat we shouldn't think are there to make us scared, but in every system there has to be certain types of laws, certain type of penalization and certain type of benefits, then you'll get something smooth. If everything is only cozy and rosy and only speak about forgiveness like what they do in the churches, that Isa alayhi salam, they say Jesus died for your sins, then that's like a license. One Christian priest who accepted Islam, he mentioned to me himself, he says this is the biggest folly that we have. Biggest folly. What is it? He said somebody else has died for our sins. So it means that we can do whatever sin we want. Somebody else is going to take the brunt of that sin that we did because someone else died for our sins. But in Islam, no. Every sin you do, you will have to account for. Every sin that I do, I will have to account for. Nobody else died for my sins. I will have to account for my own sins. So this is not a license for us to sin. We know that we will have to be accountable one day for what we do. Anyway, Allah Ta'ala is explaining His severe might, not so that we get frightened, but so that we have rules in place. And rules and authority in place will help us be aligned, help us to go on the correct and on the straight path. Because there are rules and there are regulations and authority in place, then only it will work. So Allah Ta'ala is showing His authority in this ayat of the Quran. Such is that grasp of your Allah, your sustainer, that when He sees the towns that were oppressive, surely His grasp is painful and severe. In them are signs for those who fear the punishment of the year after. That shall be a day, talking about the day in the year after, that shall be a day when people will be gathered and a day when all will be present. We have delayed it for an appointed time. In other words, that day is coming for an appointed time, it will come. When that day comes, no soul will be able to speak without His permission. No person can even speak on that day without Allah Ta'ala giving us permission to speak on that day. Some of them are wretched. Wretched, I mean, some of them will be deemed and destined for hell, and others will be fortunate, they will be destined for paradise. As for those who are wretched, those that are unfortunate, they will be in the fire where they will shout and they will scream. Again, you have mentioned that these are not just there to make us scared. If, for example, we're going from here to Johannesburg, and one friend tells us that be careful at a certain bridge, they are throwing rocks and they are throwing stones, and it's very dangerous. And a certain spot, there are big potholes, be careful. And a certain spot, there are police that are trapping there. And a certain spot later on, there are people that are looting and hijacking and stealing and putting spikes on the road. Now, will we tell this person that, why are you making us frightened? Why are you scaring us? Or we'll thank this person for warning us before we went on that journey. We'll actually thank that person because he's forewarning us, and to forewarn us is to be forearmed. So we know that when we get there, we'll have to hit a detour, or we'll have to be extra careful that we don't hit those potholes, we don't hit those spikes, we watch at those bridges when we are driving, so that no harm comes to us. We'll thank that person, we won't shout that person or ask that person, why are you making us scared? So similarly in Islam, we are told that this is the harm for doing evil, and this is the reward for doing good. So that harm and that punishment that we are told for doing evil is not to frighten us, but to warn us that be careful, you don't do this, so you end up in that wrong situation. Rather, you choose the right road, so you end up in the right place. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.